And as I thought of how God dealt with the complainers there, I had to wonder how he would deal with us if he came today. We'll let it that there. Each one of us has to make our own choices and decide what we're going to do with maybe the things we're complaining about, maybe with what we feel God has left happen to our lives or whatever it is. And the thing about a complainer is it never stops with just myself. It moves, I bring others down with me. And that really spoke to me as I thought about that. How am I affecting those around me? This week, I guess I'll confess this morning, I struggled putting a sermon together, and I had many different things I read about and thought about, and just didn't seem like nothing came together. And finally, this morning I got up early and I just opened the Psalms and started reading, and I don't know, you think about David and the inspiration he had to pen all those Psalms, and whichever ones he did anyhow, a lot of it is credited to him anyhow, but I believe he was inspired by God, and he loved the Lord, and it's evident in his writings, in his life. And I have a couple different psalms I want to look at and take some notes. It's going to be a simple, short sermon probably, but you're welcome to turn to Psalms chapter 1. I want to start with that one. And this is a beautiful psalm. You know, we could probably all say it by memory. I remember memorizing this in school. And it's something that often I think about. And you just look at how he starts out in verse 1 there. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And he has three steps there. And we're going to look at those a little bit. And I have three steps of spiritual degradation in our lives. But look at those for a little bit. You know, first of all, he walketh. And this is talking about the man that walketh not. But I believe we can take this as a person that falls into sin. And we say fall into sin like someone just fell into it. It's a choice. It's an active making choices, and that we actually commit a sin. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And, you know, there's different ways to look at that. You know, I think of someone that, you know, life is full of all these self-help books, and you can go on YouTube and you can watch so many things, you know, and it's all to inspire yourself and find yourself and all of these things that are out there. But I believe maybe we need to think about, who am I listening to in my life? Who do I find if I'm tempted to complain, where do I go to take that temptation away? What do I use? You know, one thing that I struggle with so many times, these people that we listen to for spiritual help, is the lives they live don't line up. But can I take what they have and use it to my own good or not? It's just a question to have there, but I believe that's a start. The counsel of the ungodly, someone that, and as I studied that, I found something interesting. He said, someone with an ungodly heart that tries to attract to my godly heart. And I found that interesting. So in other words, if I can put it in my own words, a sinner that to get a hold of my life will try to live the life or represent the life I have to get my favor. If that makes sense. But that's the first step that he gives. He starts that with that. And then the next one is standing in the way of sinners there. And we notice that it's a it's changing. Instead of walking by and just taking notice, it's stopping, standing in the way, giving time to the world. You know, in my life, do I give time for the devil to work? Do I start to question God? Do I start to question the church, the leaders, my brothers, my sisters? And I believe this is a very dangerous spot to be. To give time to the world. To actually, you know, as we're going through life, we walk by, we say we're faced with a temptation, we deal with it, we keep going. I don't believe that is sin. But when we stop and we take notice, I believe then we've sinned. We've given the devil time. And there's so many things. We could put a lot of things into that. I don't want to sit here and say what it could be. Just think about it. You know, this went from walking to standing. And then finally he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I believe this is a person that is, he's right where the devil wants him anyhow, whatever the weather. He's lowered himself to the world's standards here. He's sat down. He's doubted God and his word and what he's done in his own life in the church. And maybe the doubts that the devil put in his mind, he now believes. Maybe he's doubted Christ and his shed blood in his own life. He's doubted what Christ could do in his life so long he now believes that it's impossible. There's no power in Christ. But I believe along with that sitting comes with, when a person gets to that point, it comes with trying to take others with them. Trying to convince others of the same myth that's in their life. Three dangerous steps. And I'm not saying I totally understood them totally. Maybe you see something different. But I believe as we think about that, first you walk, then you stand, you give the devil time, and finally you join in. Think about that. And wherever you're at in your life, whatever you're dealing with, can you use that? Verse 2, but his delight is in the law. And we're talking about this man that doesn't do these three steps. He begins in verse 1, blessed is man that walketh not, does not do these things. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. My Bible titles this the way of the righteous, the Psalms 1. And I thought about that a lot. Where is my delight? Now, where do I go when things are big? Where do I go when I'm tempted to complain? Where do I go when I feel like everything's going wrong? And, you know, when you delight in something, if you look that word up, it means a couple different things. But the one thing that it said was to give everything for that subject, whatever it is. Do I care enough about what the Lord has in these pages that I'll take the time to read them? If I delight in it, that means I love them. I want to read them. I want to understand them. I want to hear what God has for me. And along with that, I believe with hearing, we build on that. We let this change us. We let this make us who the Lord wants us to be. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I love that picture there in verse 3. I think it makes more sense to those of us that grew up in the prairies. And there's no trees. And if you've seen a tree, it was put there by man first off usually, and if not, it's always by water. And if you were hunting and you seen trees, you knew there was water there. And I think about that often, and it's always a beautiful picture. You know, often in these little gullies going down, a little creek there, and there's big down there, there were cottonwood trees, they were called, and they were huge trees, and they hundred years old or more, I don't know. But you think about that picture of a large tree that's growing, let's just say, in the prairies there, and it's fed by the water. And, you know, it's something that I found very interesting. One time we did a school trip, and we went to this farm. Anyhow, and he was showing us that these trees that are by the creeks there, he said their roots go down and they come up underneath the creek. They don't just go out into it. And he said that's because often in the prairies, the creeks will go dry. But he said their roots are down there. They're underneath the ground even, and they're sucking any moisture that's left there. And I had to think about my own life. Where do my roots grow? You know, the natural way is to just go down and to suck off of that. But do I put the effort to go in deep and come, and even in the dry times, the hard times, I find fulfillment in Jesus? You know, when you, I believe if we delight in God's word, I believe our lives will be changed. And in my own life, I guess I was challenged this morning. A psalm I had read often, as I read that verse, it made me wonder, if I truly delight in God's word, how would my life be different? Or would it be different? I believe each one of us needs to ask ourselves that. Do I delight in God's word? Do I meditate in it day and night? When I'm faced with a challenge in work, in school, in the brotherhood, in the church, whatever, where do I draw my strength from? And you know, there's some simple questions, I believe. Ask yourself this when you're reading a chapter in the morning or the evening, whenever you have your devotions. Just ask yourself a couple questions. I jotted down, there's different ones, but you know, ask them, am I willing to allow God's Spirit to apply this verse to my life? Number two, is there a promise in here for me? Number three, is there a command in here for me? And four, is there a truth about God or His Word in here that I need the Holy Spirit to enlighten me on? Questions just to ask yourself as you're reading. You know, it's pretty easy for me sometimes to get up and I'm pressured for time, I think. And to just quickly read the scriptures because that's the right thing to do. Or can I read these and can whatever it is, and can I ask the Lord to show me something this morning, whatever it is? Water in the Bible often means the Spirit of God. And this morning, do your roots, are they deep in the Word? Are they deep enough that the Spirit of God can work and feed and touch? And he says, he closes that verse there, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I'd like to quick read a verse there, and if you want to, in 3 John, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." There's a lot of people that take that verse and use it for the prosperity gospel, as a lot of us would call it. But if you look at that, look at word prosper, it simply means to have a good journey. And you think about that. Sorry, I didn't finish it. To have a good journey, to be led along a good road. And I guess I never looked it up before, but I found that interesting. If we're complainers, like we talked about in Sunday school, this won't mean nothing. But if we're looking for the good in what God has done for us, we can look at the road God has laid out for us. And we see the beauty and the way He's worked in our lives. And I believe we all could say we have a good journey when we're in God's will. But I believe a soul that is, can I say, submitted to God and in tune with His will We can pray for health. We can pray for a good journey. We can pray that the Lord will bless us, and there's nothing wrong with that. And God can work different ways. You know, I'm not here saying if we read His Word and understand it, that all of a sudden that I'm not trying to say now that the Lord will make things better. He'll even bless us with health, if that's what we're talking about. Because sometimes God doesn't. Sometimes He puts us through a hard time. Maybe He challenges our health. Maybe He challenges our journey. Whatever way it is, each one of us is on a journey. Each one of us has things to work through. But we can use those things that God allows to either help us, or we can use them and allow them to take us down, and along with that, often we take others down. And think about that. So often we think our choices only affect ourselves. But do I realize that my choices can affect others? Let's keep going. Verses 4 through 6 paint a different picture. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you've ever followed a combine or watched a combine and seen all the chaff blowing around, all the light little stuff that surrounded the kernel and the dust and the dirt, and it's blowing around. And to me, that's a good picture, I guess. The wind moves it, but you don't see the wind. You see the chaff. You see it blowing around. And I believe the Bible paints that and shows what the ungodly are like. That force we cannot see moves them. They go with it wherever their mind takes them next. And verse 5, they're condemned. And then he talks about they would be condemned in judgment. And finally, in verse 6, they'll perish for eternity. That's the picture of the ungodly. What an awful picture to close with in Psalms 1. But to me, it's still a beautiful psalm, because I want to be like that tree that's planted by the creek. Psalms 150 now. Another psalm I'd like to look at. It's the last one. So we went to the first, I guess, and now we'll go to the last. But if we are like that tree that's planted by the river, the small creek, wherever we are planted, this, I believe, is our response, Psalms 150. And even in the hard times, I think this should be our response. I guess as I was challenged, my mind went to praising the Lord, because I just had to think, what am I without Christ? Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This song doesn't leave a lot of room for complaining. Pretty much every instrument I believe David probably had at his disposal, he wrote down. If David wrote this. But anyhow, I'm going to say he did. Because I believe David loved to sing. And why did he love to sing? Some people just love to sing, yes. But I believe he loved to sing because the Lord had made a difference in his life. And this morning, I believe that's the reason probably a lot of us love songs. Because they express our inner self. They express, maybe, can I reword that, what Christ has done for me, for you. And praise isn't confined just to these four walls here this morning. In verse 1 there, he says, praise Him in the sanctuary. And I'm going to call that the church. But then he goes on and says, praise Him in the firmament of His power. To me, that's everywhere. God's power is evident in creation everywhere. And I believe it'll well up from our hearts anytime, anywhere, as we realize what Christ did for us. And praise is a powerful response. You know, it can be done in song. I believe it can be done in prayer. It can be done maybe in our moments of silence, where we meditate, where we delight in His Word. And it also comes from a desire for a relationship with our Creator. I want to go over to Isaiah now. We're going to leave Psalms. Isaiah chapter 12. We'll start reading at verse 1, I believe. We'll read 1 through 6. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, for this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. My mind went to these verses. I have them. It says in my Bible, thanksgiving for God's salvation. And I guess a question I've been challenging myself with a lot lately is, if I really realized what Christ did for me, if I appreciated it, for that I realized that it's eternity that we're talking about, that I'm saved from, I think it would make me share the gospel more. And I've been challenged, you know, in our little community in Canuso recently, or the last couple years, I guess, you know, older people are passing off the scene. And I've been challenged, you know, have I shared the plan of salvation? Have I shared Jesus' love? And as you look at these verses and you're in our own lives, just stop and think what the Lord did for you. And if I'm thankful for that, I believe thankfulness is expressed in sharing it with others. And that's something that I've been challenged with. I just want to leave that challenge with each one of you. First of all, if you've experienced Jesus' love, his salvation, his cleansing power in your life, look around you. Are you allowing it to go forth? Are you thankful enough for it that it will go forth out of your life? Are you, like verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let's show Jesus. Let's show the communities, wherever you're at. Let's make a difference. Because we have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, if you're struggling, there's so much in God's Word, but go through the Psalms. I was just blessed. There were so many that I wanted to use, and yet take the time. Put your name in some of those Psalms. You know, I believe David rejoiced because of what the Lord did. And as you read those verses and think of what the Lord did for you, there's nothing we can do but rejoice. Let's be faithful. Let's make a difference in our community. And let's praise the Lord for it. Let's be thankful for the salvation he has given us. We'll have a song that we'll ask Jess to close the service. Thank you.